Real stories, reliable information, the latest technology and news. Welcome to the Plastic Surgery Hub podcast, connecting people with practitioners.
Hey podcasters, so I'm here today again with Dr. Jason Oates, and we're here especially today for Men's Health Week, and we're going to have a little bit of chat about stuff for the guys. So Dr. Oates is actually from Academy Face Body in Subiaco, Western Australia, or Perth. So welcome, Dr. Oates.
Hi Trish, good to speak to you again.
You too. This is so good. We've created magic today with our audio recording, so we've done something different, hey, so I'm pretty excited. So tell me, Dr. Oates, in the last, I know you do quite a few men's procedures, but in the last 20 years, have you seen any changes, or what changes have you seen when it comes to men and the procedures that they seem to be having?
I think there's been a better acceptance of cosmetic procedures in general for men. There's always been a tendency for perhaps the younger men to be coming in having their ears pinned back or their noses done. And very occasionally we would get older men who were having eyelids and facelifts. It's just that the numbers have increased over time. And then recently, with the development, say, of the Calibre procedure, and so that is injectable fillers into the penis, and PRP for erectile function, and using called low-intensity shockwave therapy for erectile function, there's been a change there, and a whole new group of men coming into procedures that we didn't even offer a few years ago.
Okay, so basically the procedures have kind of been on the rise insofar as like quantities that, or you know, what guys are having done, and now there's even more procedures that kind of weren't on the market before and guys, you know, specifically designed for the men.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, awesome. So what treatments do you offer in your clinic? Like, let's start with maybe leave the Calibre one to last, but what else do you do? And then we can talk more about the Calibre, because I know it's kind of new territory.
So, well, are you thinking of all of these intimate sort of things that we're doing now?
Oh, no, I'm thinking for the guys. I'm thinking of the stuff for the guys. So what else can the guys get done at your clinic?
Okay, so guys much more had been having a whole range of treatments. So it's much more acceptable and common to see guys who are having skin treatments, hydrofacials, peels, buying products. That has increased and changed a lot. And I think, a decade ago, we used to think it was the metrosexuals. Now it is, lots of guys who are interested in it. And the young men who come up, perhaps are in teens and 20s now, I think into the future, that will just be a normal thing for them, looking after their appearance, looking after their skin.
Yeah.
There are things like Cool Sculpting, which has been around for several years, but for a lot of guys, that's a lot more acceptable, a way of having your fat frozen and then having that fat just melt away with your body, as opposed to perhaps having liposuction. Of course, guys still have liposuction, but whenever there's a sort of a less invasive, a non-surgical option, I think guys tend to have a bit more of a preference to go in that direction.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong, so basically guys are kind of, it sounds like guys are just coming to get stuff done regularly as well, like not just one-off treatments, but they kind of, it's kind of changing where it's not just women coming in to get stuff done regularly, it's the guys as well.
It's definitely starting. There was a time when, the idea of something like the muscle relaxing injection and the fact that you come back three times a year and have it done was a really unfamiliar concept to a guy, whereas women, and maybe it's from getting their hair coloured or something, you've got to go back and have your hair coloured every 6 weeks or your roots are showing, and just having your nails done regularly or facials done regularly, this whole idea of upkeep, maintenance, and doing something regularly for yourself was a foreign concept to me, but they're getting more used to and comfortable with it.
Yep, yep. I totally agree. You can kind of feel that and see that around. I was in a clinic not that long ago, and I was just like, I mean, it was a clinic for men, but I just couldn't believe the amount of men that were coming in all the time. I'm like, wow, this is just like, because of course I've never been to a men's clinic before, but I was like, wow, this is just like a women's clinic, but just men. That's just why I thought, wow, there's a lot of guys out there getting a lot of treatments as well.
Definitely that has increased for sure.
Yeah. So you we're going to talk about the caliber. Well, I'd like to talk about the caliber. So you've pioneered a revolution, somehow you've been involved with the pioneering, is that right, of a revolutionary penis enlargement procedure, which is called the caliber, for the guys. So can you tell us a little bit about it? I know we've spoken about it before, but there would be people that haven't heard it.
Yeah, well, that started 5 or 6 years ago when we had a guy who just sort of casually sort of mentioned that, is there a way of achieving a bigger penis without having to have surgery? And it sort of struck me that we'd come so far with injectable fillers, and we're doing so much more. 20 years ago when I started, we were putting a little bit in the border of the lips and a little bit in the nasolabial fold, and that was it. We didn't really have any other concepts around it. And now, this hardware thing of a place that fillers aren't getting put, except in the penis. And so the magic of Google, being able to search the published medical literature, and it had been done in Korea, and they'd published a few papers, and it seemed promising. It seemed to last longer than expected. It was using quite a lot of volume, and so one of the limiting things was going to be the price, and that still is a limiting factor. But I'd also, to me, it looked like these were urologists. They were surgeons, expert in the kidneys and the bladder, but they weren't cosmetic injectors. And I thought there's a whole lot in this that could be done a lot better. And so we were sort of thinking, if there was a walk-in, walk-out procedure with no downtime, painless, and it was a safe way of increasing the size of your penis, specifically increasing the girth of the penis, how many guys would be interested in that? And interesting, there have been studies that show between 40 and 60% of men had some interest in the idea of having a bigger penis. So it's a common thing. It's like almost the majority of guys.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, because I actually get a lot of those inquiries. So it's so true. It's and you know what? I mean, people might say, why would you, bother or anything like that? But having spoken to quite a few guys myself, like, it's amazing, what something like that can do for their self-esteem, because we're, it's okay for us women to sort of think, oh, we want to do that because it makes us feel better. But, I mean, if a guy can do something that's going to make him feel better, like, why not? And now it seems that the technology or the process is such that you can. So it's just really, I suppose it's about spreading the word, letting people know that it's out there. And
we have just published another paper in the latest aesthetic surgery journal, in which a PhD psychologist interviewed a series of patients who'd had caliber to see, one, what were their motivations for having the procedure, and what changes had it made to their lives. And it was a really useful exercise for us to see that the guys were benefiting from it. And there was sort of a range of reasons why guys were having it. One was from that locker room syndrome, just feeling self-conscious that maybe they weren't as big as other guys, and you're in a gym situation or just where there's a chance that somebody's going to see your penis, that they feel self-conscious about it. So that was one reason, and the guys felt more comfortable in that. Then the other is intimate relationships, and some guys have had the experience of a partner making a comment about the size of their penis. And one comment they will remember forever. And also that's on a daily basis that they sort of, it occurs to them. And again, they can actually feel a lot better about themselves, about their body by this procedure. So that's been really useful for us to see that it does make a difference. And in fact, we're now working on a prospective and ongoing study with Curtin University and the psychology department there, in a study that's really never been done before, to see whether, for almost any cosmetic procedure, the kind of life changes that it makes to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, what you're saying is totally 100% true, because and it comes from, because a story that I heard recently from the other end of the spectrum was one of my daughter's friends had, as she was younger, just, you know, I don't even know how young, but a boyfriend had said something about her her labia, and she just stuck in her head. And then years later, she had a labiaplasty, and like she was like, it's the best thing that she did. And I even saw it myself, like her total confidence changed in who she was. And it was just, the whole trigger was actually an ex-boyfriend had said something to her about the way it looked. And so same thing for the guy. So it's so real. It's so very real. Unless you've experienced it, I guess you can't relate to it, but people need to be open that, you know, it's not just about vanity. Sometimes it's a real serious, you know, psychological issue that can be resolved, really, in a way.
Yeah. And you know, we've had guys who are in business and come back and sort of, you know, they just say, even in business, I mean, it's just a day-to-day sort of life. They feel more confident. You sort of hate to sort of say it, you know, that walking with a swagger and... Mm. Inner confidence in yourself is a very important thing.
Yeah. Even the situation like, you know, you put on a little bit of weight and you're too self-conscious about like 5 kilos, and you lose that 5 kilos and you walk around like, hey, look at me, you know, like I've lost weight. So it's true. It's the extra swagger. I totally get that. So I wanted to ask you that paper that you're talking about that was done with that psychologist, is that privy, is the general consumer privy to that? Like, is that something that we can share with people, or just have it available for them to have a read or whatever on plastic surgery?
I think there are some limitations on what we're allowed to do. You can go to aesthetic surgery journal and you can read the abstract. In fact, I don't think I've even got a link to it on my website, but I will get to it today and go and make sure, because until it comes out in the print version of the journal, they generally don't like it. Making it available
public
online.
Yeah, fair enough.
People wouldn't like the journal.
Yep. Well, that's okay. Even if we can just share some of the, you know, information that's allowed, that'd be awesome. But so tell me, I was going to ask you, in the spirit of talking about all things related to men's health for Men's Health Week this week, what are the less talked about health issues for men? Like, I know for a fact that you do have something to do with, or, you know, to do with erectile dysfunction, or I almost want to swallow when I say that. It's like, ooh, this is like kind of, say it out loud, erectile dysfunction.
Yeah, ED, erectile dysfunction, hugely common problem, and gets a huge number of searches on the internet in Australia every month. It starts becoming more common for men from the age of 40, which is, for me, even a surprise. But yeah, into the 50s and 60s, it becomes more and more common, the ability to obtain an erection that will last long enough to have sexual intercourse. It can be a sign of underlying cardiovascular illness. The arteries of the penis are similar sort of size to the arteries that are in your heart. So if you've got flow problems in the penis, you know, GPs are well aware of this. You know,
also, okay, now we've also got to check your heart out to see whether there's increased risk there. And for some guys, it is things like the cholesterol-lowering medications, exercise, diet, and you can make a significant difference to your erectile function. Obviously, there's the medication, everybody's familiar with the little blue pill, Viagra. It just doesn't suit everybody, either socially or actually physically. Not everybody feels great taking Viagra. And it can work up that just doesn't work at all. So then you need to perhaps have injections. And again, the idea of having to stick a needle into your penis every time you want an erection doesn't appeal to a lot of guys either.
Probably a lot of women as well, yeah.
Well, a lot of husbands and wives, yeah, the wife is involved in that. Maybe the guy can't look, the wife gets the job of sticking the needle in. So the two things that that we're using are the PRP, the platelet-rich plasma, often known as the P-shot, and that's where we take out some blood. In fact, with the kits that we use, it's quite a lot of blood, 60 mils, spin it down in a centrifuge. In fact, we have to spin it twice to get the most concentrated, highest number of platelets. And then you do inject it back into the penis. We wrap it all up in glad wrap and local anesthetic cream so it's nice and numb. And this is a relatively new treatment. It's been getting a lot of press, but it hasn't got as much scientific backing as yet. So we're certainly looking forward to some studies getting published on the benefits. And I just had an email from a patient today saying, how long is this going to last? He was happy with the result, but says, do I have to do it in 6 months? Do I do it in 12 months? Does it last forever? And that's not really known.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been useful. I've been doing that for the last year or so. And then the other thing is this, what's called low-intensity shockwave therapy, which all guys think means they're going to put electric shocks into their penis, which it's not. It's using sort of a physiotherapy style tool, and it creates this little thumping motion. I usually describe it, I'll call it the thumper to patients. And again, that doesn't excite guys either, but it just has a very rapid little thump, 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 and it stimulates blood vessels opening up and the growth of new blood vessels in the penis. And this has been studied very extensively in the urology, so the bladder, penis, kidney literature over the last 5 years especially. And there would be 20 or 30 papers at least now getting good results, maybe 80% or more of guys having a significant improvement. Guys who have, I had my very first patient actually, he was having to use injections to get an erection. Viagra just didn't work for him at all. He had diabetes, he was in his 60s. And so it was one of the tough sort of cases, the one where you don't think, you know, you go to give him medications altogether. After having the six treatments, so it's two treatments a week, each treatment takes about 5 or 6 minutes. Painless, you don't need any local anesthetic cream or anything. He came back later saying, well, it works, doesn't need any medication, and he can get, you know, spontaneous erections, when he needs it, and, you know, for as long as he needs it. And, so that was really, for him, we actually combined the two. He had, T-shot plus the shockwave therapy. And so we don't know whether is it the combination of the two that gave him such a good result when he was sort of expected to be a tough candidate. Would he have gotten a good result if he just had one treatment or just had the other treatment?
Yeah.
So there's a bit of a learning sort of curve, but at least there's plenty of medical literature on this low-intensity shockwave therapy. And I predict that you'll see clinics popping up everywhere doing this treatment, because such a common problem, it's something that men find so important, and it's an easy fix, really. And this one, it seems to be the 6 treatments, usually done over 3 weeks, and then looking to do a top-up treatment in a year's time or 18 months' time.
Okay. And, like, what about costing factor? Like, is it, like, really expensive, or it's something that, like, affordable, or, you know, top-end? Like, can you give us some sort of indication of – and I know it's going to be an individual – you know, like someone's going to come in and need different things, someone else.
Prices. In fact, my girls always tell me never to tell the patient prices and wait to get out the front, because I always get it wrong. And I guess it's a relative thing for guys, but I think PRP is in the realms of $1,200 to $1,600 for the injection. And I think the series of 6 treatments with the low-intensity shockwave is, this is probably where I'm going to get in trouble, just over $2,000, I think.
Okay. Well, so it's not ridiculous. I mean, I've seen quotes for procedures that, are 15 times that, you know what I mean? And even then you don't know if it's going to work. So, it depends, if you're comparing it to a facial, it's going to be different, but if you're comparing it to what you're actually, the possibility of achieving is, it's like any treatment that someone has, it's like, okay, I want to get this done, I want to have resurfacing, and, but the results, are going to outweigh, any concern with that. So it's kind of nice to have that up front as well.
I see it. And certainly if guys are interested, call the clinic and check.
Of course.
But I think the value that they get out of it that
of course
really makes guys interested in these treatments, and the ability to achieve an erection for a guy is an important thing.
Of course. And can I ask you, so if guys do have these sort of issues, do they need a referral from the GP to see you, or what's the first step in treating an issue like this that they might have, or they could just ring up,
The medical side, it's a good idea to see your GP first, discuss it with your GP, because these other cardiovascular issues are things that you want to be checked out. Mm-hmm. There may be some blood tests. There was this idea that we're just going to give everybody testosterone and this is going to solve everybody's issues, and there's been a bit of a rethink on that over the last few years. But it may be that if you haven't even tried Viagra, that that is worth a try first before you come in. Some guys perhaps rather than having to take medication every time, the idea of having a treatment and reversing the underlying issue, that might be more appealing to them. But I think it's worth discussing it with your GP, although it's not an essential.
Oh, no, that's great. That's been so helpful. That's been really good, and I'm sure a lot of the guys will enjoy listening or reading about this. And, of course, as with anything, if you have any questions, like, they can just ring your office anyway, can't they? There's always someone there to help them with, a question or an answer or anything like that. Awesome.
Absolutely, very comfortable discussing all of these sorts of things. This is the kind of things that they're talking about every day.
Of course, totally. Yes, it's sometimes I guess it can be uncomfortable. But if you're talking to someone who's talking about this sort of stuff every day, they're comfortable. But don't be scared to pick up the phone and, book an appointment in, because, they've done it all before, hey?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Thanks, Jason. That's been really great and really helpful. Yeah.
Lovely to speak to you again, Trish.
Appreciate the opportunity. Yeah, pleasure. And guys, always remember, like, there's there's so many things out there that you could possibly get help with that guys tend to, as a natural thing, they pay less attention to their health, they go to doctors less, and they kind of they just kind of put up with stuff. So there's just a little insight of stuff that might be available that didn't know about. So thanks so much, Dr. Oates. We'll catch you later.
Great. Talk to you again soon, Trish.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
The Plastic Surgery Hub Podcast, connecting people with practitioners. For more information, visit plasticsurgeryhub.com.au or email info@plasticsurgeryhub.com.au. The material provided in this podcast is general information and does not constitute medical advice, nor is it a substitute for consultation and advice from your own practitioner. It should not be used to diagnose or treat any medical illness. Any medical or surgical decision should be made in consultation with your own doctor or practitioner and not based on the materials provided in this podcast.